Hello, and thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Bite-Sized Cybercrime. It's been a while since I've done a bite-sized advice episode, but this sub-series of Bite-Sized Cybercrime is made to give you some practical advice on improving your own security. A lot of the stuff I talk about is not necessarily applicable to the individual. It's things that corporations need to start applying. But it is still everyone's responsibility to be secure, so here is something you can take into your own hands. On a related note, I have recently started posting articles to my LinkedIn. Just look up Chloe Tonis, give me a follow, and give them a read if you're interested. I'm using LinkedIn as an opportunity to discuss topics I don't get to discuss on my actual podcast often. So it's just some fun bonus content every once in a while. I don't have a consistent upload schedule for it yet, it's just whenever I have a good idea. Anyways, I was inspired to make this episode because one of my common news sources, Bleeping Computer, posted that Hot Topic customers had been a victim of an attack called credential stuffing. Basically, it's an attack where someone finds an email and password in a data breach that's happened before, and tries those credentials against different websites, like your bank, or your email, or apparently your Hot Topic account. In that breach, customer data was potentially exposed, including partial credit card information, customer names, order history, phone number, and date of birth. It's not the most serious breach in and of itself, but this information can be used to perform different attacks in the future. And is still an unnecessary exposure of people's private information. I've already described credential stuffing to you, but here's a more detailed example. I used to play a game called Town of Salem. You needed to make an account to play it. They had a data breach in 2018 that exposed my username and password as a hash. A hash is an algorithm used to transform passwords into a fixed string of different characters. It looks pretty random, but it's not. What's important about a hash is that you can't reverse it. However, what you could do is figure out the passwords by using something called a rainbow table. A rainbow table is a preset list of passwords and the hash value that is created when a specific hash is applied to those values. This is mostly useful for guessing common passwords or ones that have already been breached. If there's not a rainbow table value for it, it's likely going to need to be figured out by brute force, or stolen in a phishing attack. The bad thing about a hash is once it's offline, you can pretty much take as long as you want to try to crack it. So, let's say someone managed to crack my password from that Town of Salem breach. They would probably try it on other websites, like Gmail, so they could get access to my email, maybe reset some passwords for other services, maybe they'd try logging into my bank account, maybe they'd try logging into my Podbean and deleting my podcast. Please don't do that, I would be very sad. Anyways, there is a reason people tell you to use different passwords for every website you use, and that is because of credential stuffing. And I know a lot of people listening to this podcast probably don't do that. It's okay, you can admit it. Not everyone has the absolute best security practices for convenience sake. But hackers are people too, and part of their skill set is knowing people well. They know that you will do this. So if your password is potentially out there, they can and probably will try it on any other websites that they suspect you use. This is becoming a much more common way of accessing accounts, especially on passwords that have existed from previous data breaches. They're already out there, all you gotta do is just plug them into a different website. The issue, of course, is that memorizing a different password for every single website you use is difficult, especially because these days every service wants you to sign up for an account, but it actually doesn't have to be difficult. One solution is to use a password manager that will generate a password for you and store it in the password manager. So you have different passwords for each site and really only need to memorize the password for your password manager. After LastPass was hacked, a lot of people just don't trust password managers, and I understand this fear, but I don't necessarily share this same fear. 1Password and Bitwarden are both good alternatives, and 1Password is encrypted in such a way that They can't even get your passwords if they wanted to. So if there's a breach, you're still safe. You can also look into password managers that never connect to the internet and only store your password locally on your computer. Ultimately, though, it's up to you to research alternatives and find a service that you think you can trust. But overall, I believe the upsides of having new, different, strong passwords for every website greatly outweigh a lot of the detriments and security concerns with using a password manager, especially if it's one that you've researched in advance and kind of understand how they work. But if you really can't shake that distrust of password managers, it's actually still easier than you think to truly make a unique password for every single website. But how do you do that? An easy method is to just add the initials of the site, or maybe the first couple letters, to the beginning or the end of your password. Let's say my password is cybercrime123. It's not. Don't even bother trying it. If I'm creating a YouTube account, I could make it something like ytcybercrime123, or maybe yt@cybercrime123 or dash. If it's for Microsoft, maybe mscybercrime123. Or if it's for Wikipedia, I could do wiki-cybercrime123 just to shake it up if that's easier to remember than wp-cybercrime123. And if I had a WordPress site, well, that could be too similar, so another way to shake it up. This also works pretty well if you're like me and your password looks like you dropped a keyboard down a flight of stairs, because the random letters won't be obvious even if a hacker manages to crack it. At the very least, it will take a lot of time and buy you that time to change your password once you find out that you've been compromised somewhere else. Bonus tip, an easy way to make your password look like someone dropped a keyboard down a flight of stairs is to think of a phrase. It can be a line in a book, a poem, a song you like, an inside joke, anything really. Take the first letter of each word of the phrase, do that thing where you replace some of the letters with numbers and special characters, and then add the initials on the end of that. But if we're being realistic, an attacker trying to do a credential stuffing attack might not even notice that you're doing this, and then they'd have to manually guess exactly how you abbreviated the website. Not saying that that's a particularly difficult thing to do, but it's easiest to just use the account of someone whose password is the same everywhere and not have to guess the variations you've created. But you may also be wondering, how are you supposed to know if you've been breached? I highly recommend adding yourself to an email list for haveibeenpwned.com. It will notify you if you've been found in a data breach so you can change your password. Some password managers also are able to detect data breaches and help you change your password in case of one as well. It's good to have multiple options available whenever possible, and these two are pretty reliable. My password manager actually told me about a data breach that haveibeenpwned didn't. And vice versa. haveibeenpwned told me about a data breach that my password manager didn't. Thinking about your own personal security is not the most fun activity. I know this very well, and it's made me very paranoid. But oftentimes, it just takes small changes to improve your own internet safety practices. Password and password policies are something I could probably talk about all day, and there's actually a lot of debate over the years about what the best practices truly are. However, I think one of the most important factors that you can do is check your password against a list of known breached passwords, which you can also do with haveibeenpwned, and make sure you really do use different passwords for every site, even if it's only a tiny bit different. But ultimately, do what works for you. Security and usability have to be a balance. If you can't use it, there's really no point in it being secure. The most secure PC, after all, is turned off and locked in a safe. Not everyone can keep up with changing their passwords every 3 months, so change them when you're breached, or change them every year. Not everyone can make up a super complicated 100% completely new password for every website they use, so use a password manager, or if you don't trust them, use one base password and change part of it for every site so you can still remember it. I think password reuse is really not as often discussed as it should be. And I think part of that is just because it seems really difficult to make a unique password for every website until, well, you realize you've got options. But of course, also enable multi-factor authentication on any website you can, so that if your password is breached, there is yet another barrier hackers need to get through to compromise your account. But don't necessarily use multi-factor as a justification for having a weak password or using the same password for every website. It's best to build up multiple strong layers of defense, just in case one of those layers fails. My name is Chloe Tonis, and thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Bite-Sized Cybercrime. I hope I taught you something, changed your perspective, or inspired you to stay secure.